Oh, absolutely. Because when people feel there's no safety net or care behind them with a company or a consumer, when they're looking and saying, nobody cares what happens to me, that's part of what pushes you to the point of burnout, right? Because you feel like you can't afford to take a break, that nobody cares. And I submit that the very act of caring and acting in that way helps all of us avoid the burnout, one of the many ways, and be better people, better workers, better in every way.
Expanding possibilities, the Mindset Zone.
I'm your host, Anna Malikian, and my mission is to support individuals and organizations to increase their impact while avoiding burnout. If you want to work smarter, not harder, I can help you. If you want to go from burnout to full engagement, let's talk. Reach me at anna@mindset.zone. Yes, instead of .com, it's .zone. You can also access all the episode notes, links, and other amazing resources at mindset.zone. Today, our special guest is Nicole Findy. Nicole is a former CFO, investor banker, and credentialed actuary who decided to leave the corporate world and be the number whisper to help creatives become successful business owners. Now, she has co-founded Creatopia to elevate creativity and support creators' prosperity. Welcome to the Mindset Zone, Nicole.
Thanks, Anna. I'm so excited to be here.
And me too, because you have this beautiful concept that you call three hugging capitalism. And I would love that you tell us a little bit about that.
That's a name I came up with a while ago because I felt there was this disconnect and there was no term for the fact that I love nature. I care about social causes. I care about people and the planet. And I also believe you can make money. So the tree hugging capitalist was the way to bring both concepts together and give a shorthand to people on what I stood for.
I want to go a little bit deeper there because I know a little bit about your story. You really come from the numbers world, the hard numbers world. I refer in the bio that you had positions as CFO. You work in the investor banking industry. Right. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I have a math degree. And my dad was so worried. What are you going to do with this degree, Nicole? So he found out about actuaries who do a lot of statistics. And that started my corporate job, which moved into management, where I worked as a CFO and worked on some deals on the corporate side, which led to an investment banking job. And I love doing all that.
And you travel, you were all over the world with doing that.
Correct. I worked on many continents and I lived in Asia, both in the Philippines and Hong Kong while I was working.
Because you were very good in what you were doing and the companies recognized your value and took you wherever they need to solve a problem. There you were solving the problems.
Yes, I became a CFO under the age of 30.
Wow. Wow. If you went to math, you like numbers, you are good at numbers. So that was something that possibly almost second nature to you. You got in a profession that was leveraging that. Where comes your love of nature? Was also when you were young that you had that thing about being outside?
Yes, I grew up in northern Michigan. It's called the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and it is a very remote area. My dad always took me out like fishing in the summer, and we'd go partridge hunting in the fall. I love to run outside. I grew up in a very nature-filled environment with a family who embraced it and valued it. So I have lots of happy memories being out in the woods.
And was I don't know, but the image that I have, like big cities in the Asia that are really big metropolitan cities, I don't know how much parks and nature contact you have there. Was the absence of that that make you wanting to have more? And tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, there are still ways. Certainly when I lived in Luzon, which is the island Manila's on, I lived in Makati, which is right in the center. You had to go out of town. I would ask the locals where to go, and I would travel to these kind of crazy places even locals hadn't been to experience nature. And then in Hong Kong, there's actually a great hike over the island to go from one side to the other. It's a wonderful nature hike. So you can find nature everywhere if you look. The impetus for this rehugging capitalism was, yes, protecting nature, but also valuing people. And while I lived in Asia, I became aware of something called fair trade, which is ensuring that people always get paid a livable wage for what they do, which unfortunately, even today, but more so then, even today, though, there are many people who do not receive a livable wage or work in unsafe conditions or their children doing the labor. And I did not want to contribute to that. I wanted to find a way to help people and be prosperous financially.
Yeah, because you start to see the reality behind the numbers, the people behind the numbers, both in the companies and the people producing the products and everything.
That's a perfect way to phrase it, Anna. Yes.
And you could not disconnect the two realities of it. So, and at the same time, because I'm in this world of the B Corps that are very aware of all these things, but I remember many years ago, even mainly, I think was the coffee, one of the first things that I start to see fair trade on it, because it's one of the cultures that are done in other continents, and it can be subject to a lot of abuse of people that produce the coffee beans that really don't make any money out of it. All the money is done afterwards, and it's not a very fair practice.
You're absolutely correct. And a lot of coffee is now grown as primary versus secondary shrubs. So it leads to clear cutting, like in the Amazon forest, whereas organic fair trade, if you look at secondary shrub coffee, you take it even a step further, you're helping the people and the planet be prosperous.
Yeah, and is that we in this world that we are living, things are, this is accelerating change, and there is lots of complexity around, and we have to learn a little bit about how these things work to know the impact that we can have in a positive or in a negative way, sometimes without knowing.
Yes, absolutely. I had to look to find a company. There's actually a company here in Minnesota where I live now. It's a husband-wife team. He's originally from Honduras, and he grew up on a coffee farm. And he moved here. They got married, and now they import coffee from his family in Honduras. It's direct from them, and roast it and sell it here. They'll ship it. They sell it all over now. So I love, they're called Blaskis Family Coffee, and I love their coffee and buy it religiously.
I love it because you bring, you know how to look to the finances in the company to know if things can work and cannot work. Mm-hmm. And you decide to bring all those skills that you acquire during your career and in the corporate world to help the small business to prosper.
Yes. When I was deciding to make a shift out of corporate, I looked at who isn't getting the help they need and who do I connect well with. And it was small business. And then to go a step further, I relate well to creative people. I relate well to like holistic coaches, creatives, things along that nature where they often struggle to work well with a finance person, who finance people tend to be a little more left brain than right brain. It was my sweet spot. I could communicate well with them. I could see how to help them make a profit. And I found it incredibly fulfilling, as well as seeing them make money, be able to live doing what they love.
Yeah, because usually the creatives and people that are in the coaching industry, they really want to make a difference out there and create a better world. And they have their own practice that has to be run as a business if they want to make a bigger impact. And you are helping them like in with the number whisper to be able to do that, to run successful business and make a bigger impact out there. That is where I met you more than 10 years ago.
I know. I can't believe it's been that long.
Wow. And I cannot hold my excitement for what you are doing now, because you are taking this to the next level now with Creatopia that you co-found. So tell us a little bit more about this new adventure that you are on.
Well, Creatopia is in a sense a disrupt, because we have already where you can buy things from individual creatives or you can get things to be creative. However, in today's overwhelmed world, people want a place they can go to connect with curated creatives and to find things to inspire their own creativity. And the curated creatives need a way to make money, because otherwise they spend all their time worrying about marketing and business and no time creating. So Creatopia brings all that together. It's one place where we've curated the content and created easy ways to inspire joyful creativity, providing supplies, resources, all of that. And on the back end, it's a membership program, although you can buy one off. It's a membership program where every dollar becomes a purchase dollar. On the back end, we're taking that money and investing it in creatives and helping them reach that place of sustainable prosperity. That's not something you've seen anywhere else, but a close analogy might be Naked Wines. They do it for wine. We're doing it for creatives.
I love that, because you are really, and this is the reality. We are living in this world that things are moving so fast, and I always now lately so absorbed on studying the effects of the AI disruption and how as humans we can influence this in a good way for good change. And you are doing in many ways for the creative community that you love and serve for many years, creating a new way of doing business that is in more in line with your tree hugging capitalism.
Yes, absolutely. That's spot on. I believe in the triple bottom line, which is people, profit, and planet. And it's something that B Corp subscribe to. And the idea that we can help people have a better life, a better way of living, we can make a profit. And while we're doing it, we're taking care of the planet. We're using thoughtful, sustainable ways to offer these things to the consumer.
And I love this because there is that old quote that says the capitalism is a very bad system, but it's the best one that we know. And there is a lot of truth on it if we think about in terms of choices and the options that we have in a society that capitalism and democratic. And it can be a force for good, because that is the principle of the B Corps and other movements that there is within capitalism, that is not denying that is really realizing the power that we have and how can we influence the equation. We can make this work in a different way. We can bring a little bit of bringing other models to the table, right, and prove that they can work also to create profits and to create a better future to everybody involved.
There's research that supports this. So I'm going to put my numbers finance hat back and let you know about, there's this group called the Global Alliance for Banking Values, GABV. And they do research. They've been doing this research annually since 2012. And they look at banks and financial institutions that live by that are value-based, that are community-based, that are focused on working within their communities. And in essence, the B Corp of a bank, okay? And they've looked at their profits over time versus the largest global, what we might refer to as traditional banks. They outperform them. They outperform them with profit. So when people say, but it's less profitable, I beg to differ. Here's an example. The hardest, most cutthroat banking, everyone thinks of banking as a dog-eat-dog world, And yet the GABD has proven with statistics they can outperform the big commercial banks.
I love that. And the thing is that because I think we really have to bring creativity to the business models, and pound intending here, because you are working with creatives and we need that thinking outside of the box, because there is not only one way of doing things, and we can find other formulas that even maybe can work better and create. And that is my big thing, is because we can create a more positive impact out there without burning out everybody in the process. That is what is happening nowadays.
Oh, absolutely. Because when people feel there's no safety net or care behind them with a company or a consumer, when they're looking and saying, nobody cares what happens to me, that's part of what pushes you to the point of burnout, right? Because you feel like you can't afford to take a break, that nobody cares. And I submit that the very act of caring and acting in that way helps all of us avoid the burnout, one of the many ways, and be better people, better workers, better in every way.
And have time to hug the trees, to spend time in nature, and to spend time with our loved ones.
I bought a house last year, and I have this huge oak in my backyard, which I adore, and I may have even named it.
So can you tell us what is the name of your tree?
Grandmother, but it's in Croatian because my dad's parents were, they were Yugoslavian. They came over during the First World War. So yes, wow. But she just feels like a grandmother. And I love it.
And how do you say that word in Croatian?
It's a baka.
Baka, I like it.
So
beautiful. And that is another way that you are reinventing and recreating things. Even, how do you say, in your home, bringing the old and the new and a new chapter in your life. Because having a home is a new chapter in many different ways. And they have that connection with the old tree that is there for a long time. I think that is beautiful. And that is the thing, I'll just say, because I think we have to ask these questions. And I think for the creatives out there that are in this, almost they feel that there is a fork in the road. Oh, to be successful, I have to learn to be a business owner, and I will not be able to be creative. And if I'm creative, I'm not going to be successful, and I'm going to be always eating up the crumbs of or whatever it is that I do. And you are telling them, no, there is a different way of doing this. There is a different way that you can run your business, and you are really providing them an environment that makes it easier for them to do that.
Correct. And I know one of the things that scares a lot of creatives right now is AI. And AI is simply a tool. However, you can't bury your head in the sand. You have to look at it and understand how it can be leveraged. And also, I submit that in the long term, AI is actually going to make human created things even more valuable, because as AI becomes more accessible, anybody can plug something into a chat or a dolly and get something out. Whereas if you can say a human made this, a human designed this, a human wrote this, I believe in the long term, it's actually going to make people value creations, human creations, even more.
And that is, I think there is all this new world in front of us that we have to explore, and many things we don't know exactly how they are going to turn. But one thing I'm sure, we need more voices in the conversation. And we need, because that is my thing, my background in psychology, my background in work is about unlocking the human potential. And my mission now is really bring more humanists to the table with the conversation of the direction of the AI, and even the conversation of direction of the business, because there is possible of a world out there that we just keep accelerating things to a point that we are even more clogs in the machine. And for what? To burning out more people? To yes. What is the sense of living? And I think the good thing is that the millennials and the new generations, they have a different attitude on it. They are not mm-hmm. going to take that as a given. They are questioning that. And there is an alternative way that we really can use, like you say, these are tools, but we have to learn how to use the tools, even to run our business,
right.
To have more time to think, to reflect, to create, to be in nature. These tools can be used to allow us to create more time, not to fill with more work, but other things that feeds our soul.
I actually spoke at a conference for game designers late last year. And I walked them through how they could use AI to help them write their rule books, which is a great use of AI because most game designers hate writing rule books. You know, it's like the last thing they do, and they avoid it like plague. I said, okay, look, here's a way, and AI doesn't have a great reputation within the game design world. They're talking about board game, physical game design. And I walked them through it, and I said, see, this is how it can help you. And we did a real example. And they went, oh, it's a tool. So I agree, having those creative approaches. And also, you're talking about burnout, stress is such a terrible thing, not only for ourselves, but as a psychologist, I'm sure you know this, being stressed reduces our ability to be creative. And finding solutions, new and innovative solutions in business requires creativity.
Absolutely. And that when a very interesting metaphor and even is a real physiological thing, when we are under stress, we really have tunnel vision. Mm-hmm. We are very focused on the threat. Mm-hmm. Okay, there is the typical thing that we say, the lion is, we are very focused on the lion, on the threat.
Right.
And everything else becomes, okay, we have to survive this moment. And that has a survival value. That is why we are wired that way. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we know that to find the third way, the fourth way, the different ways of doing things, we cannot be seen in tunnel vision. We have to be relaxed in order to be able to brainstorm, to see other possibilities, like a dear friend, speaker, that I have in my network, he speaks about thinking from the periphery, seeing beyond. So thinking is a beautiful way of framing it, that we need to see the things that are not in front of us. Mm-hmm. And always have that space, because I think it's very difficult for a creative to be creative under stress. Yeah, sometimes we need a structure, we need a deadline, you have to put some magic on that. And at the same time, there has to be that messiness of being unfocused, of wondering, of exploring, that then when the moment comes, can be funneled in something concrete that becomes a piece of art or craft or materialize in many different ways.
Creativity, it is in business. I'm coming up with the design of my new business that I co-founded, that it was a creative venture in coming up with how can this work. It wasn't something that it was easy to point to that out in the world. So I encourage people to look at creativity in all its forms. And that, like you said, I love the periphery idea, because yeah, when we relax, we do notice those things. And out of the periphery of my eye today, I saw two bunnies playing in our new snow, which was it was fun to see, but also was a nice little stress break. To see that.
Yeah. And let me just bring a concrete example, if people are for this not staying in the thinking cognitive realm, because most people have the experience of having losing your readers or your keys or a mm-hmm. pen that you need or a paper that you need mm-hmm. to finish something. I think all of us in our lives have that experience, and we get anxious, and where is the thing? We know that we put it in the desk, but we don't see it anywhere. We put everything out and we don't find it. And then, or because we are interrupted with a phone call or it's something, or we give up and just come back later, and suddenly a spouse come or a friend and say, oh, he's there. Because we are so seeing so tunnel vision because of the anxiety of the situation that we were not seeing it. And we need to relax in order to see what is in front of our eyes, not just the periphery, but even sometimes in front of our eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have done that. And I know people encourage creativity as a stress relief. However, sometimes you can be so stressed, you can't even have the creativity. And then I tell people, look, you need to, like you said, you have to let your brain have a break or a reset. Put on a favorite song and dance. Go outside and walk around for a minute. See if you watch your, I have cats, watch your two cats act crazy. Get out your old cat laser pointer. Do something silly. It's okay. And that will help reset just in the way you described right now.
Yeah. And it's so important for everybody. And that is another thing that I love about Creatopia, is for creatives to have a place to prosper with their creativity and with their business around creativity. And for other people that appreciate that crafts and that arts to go and get inspiration from it and even do something if they feel like.
Exactly. It doesn't have to be a grand project. You don't have to. It could be as simple as pulling out a coloring page and coloring it for a while. That's okay. That's creative and it's good for you.
Yeah. And we need more space for it. So where can people, either the creative that is struggling with their businesses, either the person that is just wanting to find a space to cultivate their, that the let's say, the right brain aspect of their life, where can they learn more about you and Creatopia?
Well, our website is creatopia.studio, not .com, .studio. And it will also have in the show notes, I'm guessing, we have a quiz that I've put together especially for your listeners on doing a creativity block quiz to figure out which of the five main blocks, and stress is one of them, what of the five main blocks keep us from accessing our creativity, and it'll give you a couple tips on how to get through those so that you can access your creativity every day.
Yeah, and the best way to keep up with the show notes of this podcast is by mindset.zone. See, it's not .com, it's .zone. And get all the show notes in your inbox every week. That is the more effective way. And I will make sure that put the website, your website, creatopia.studio, and the link. Thank you so much for creating that quiz for our audience. It will be a great little fun exercise of personal development for them.
Yes.
Yes. So thank you so much for your time today.
I had a fantastic time, Anna. Thank you for having me. Expanding possibilities,
the mindset. Thank you for listening. And remember to follow this podcast. And if you're listening in Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review. That really helps us spread the word about the Mindset Zone. Also, visit mindset.zone. Yes, instead of .com is .zone. There you can find amazing resources and more information about my speaking and how I support purpose-driven individuals and organizations increase their impact while preventing burnout. As always, I'm so grateful you are here. Expand what's possible for you, for the ones around you, for the world.